the Radar with Travis McLeod.
Welcome to part two of my interview with Brian Russell. When we last left off, we were talking about acting and my music career, and we're going to pick up there in this episode. There's been a little bit more of an extended break between these two episodes than I had originally thought would be. I've had school to go to and work to go to, and then on top of that, I'll admit I've been a little lazy about it. So hopefully you guys haven't missed it too much, but then again, I'm not really sure how many of you actually listen to this, so maybe it's not that big of a deal. But anyway, I've got part two here ready to go, so I hope you enjoy this as much as you enjoyed part one, and I'll just get right into it now. Here we go. I'm actually, you know, I had this idea for, I'm going to, for this podcast, I'm going to be doing a five-part series where I'm going to play each one of the albums in its entirety and do like a storyteller's kind of thing.
Neat.
Partly because I think it'd be cool to do, partly because I don't have that many ideas for a show, so I'm like, that'll fill up five episodes. And then I'm like, hopefully...
Kevin McLeod, five-part series.
Yeah.
All five of my albums. You're going to love it. Stay tuned.
I'm like, hopefully it doesn't make me sound too conceited, but I'm like, well, if you're listening to a show called Under the Radar with Travis McLeod, you probably listen to the music, hopefully. Because if not, like, what the hell are you doing listening to this thing?
Immediately. You must have something else better to do.
It's like that one I did on the advertisement for the advertisement track on the Wonderful World of Multi-Track Recording. Where, like, there's millions of other things you'd be doing right now, but you're listening to this instead.
Yeah. Phenomenal. Really great.
So about writing movies and stuff, have you ever considered I've always wanted, I don't know, maybe I have asked you this before, but like I've always kind of thought it would be cool to try to write a movie together. Like maybe I could email you some pages back and forth or something. What do you think about that?
I think that it definitely makes me nervous, but I would love to try.
Yeah. Well, that's,
like I've always had a problem, conceptualizing the page with what it would look like in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I've always had, even as an actor, like reading the script, I would read the script first. And the first time I read through it, like I don't see how it's going to play out. I see the words, I can memorize the words, but I don't get how it's going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Weird how that happens. And then it, like, in somewhere in there, transmutes and boom, it becomes a play or a movie, you know. But I love the idea, you know. I've had tons of ideas for movies, and I had dreamed of starting like a movie company.
Yeah.
That makes movies from books, but like you make the book into the movie.
Yeah.
I think one of the most annoying things, because I'm a huge reader fan, I'm a huge fan of reading,
yeah,
is how often they make movies from books that are like not the book.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what the hell was the point of that? You don't even get the spirit of the book, which is why people went to see the movie in the first place, because they wanted to see the book on screen.
Yeah.
And you gave them this, which is like occasionally the movie is better than the book or at least equal with the book.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the movie sucks.
Yeah. They're like never as good as the book.
It's just never, it never is, you know, even if the movie's good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it never really matches or whatnot. Like, did you see the remake of Total Recall?
I did. Yeah. I didn't really want to see it, but yeah. Stephanie was like, oh, let's get this one. And I was like, really? All right.
It was okay. It was, yeah. The movie was okay. Now here's the problem, right? Total Recall, the first one was based on a book.
Yeah.
But the first one is, the movie itself is awesome. I had no idea it was based on a book. So what they do with the recall, or with the second movie, is that they based that one on the book, So they make the book, right? So it's, there's no Mars, there's no none of that stuff.
Yeah.
But then that movie doesn't compare to the first movie, which is infinitely better, right?
Yeah.
But it's based on the book. So there's like a whole, that's like a whole chain of events that's all messed up.
That movie's just like a total mind fuck. Like the original. The first like time I saw that movie, the first thing I did when it was over was I immediately rewound it and watched the entire thing again. Because I was like, I have no idea what just happened, and you I can't sleep until I figure it out.
Yeah, stop it. Hit rewind. Wait for your VCR to make that string.
Yeah.
Stop it. Push play again. Yeah.
And I think I was probably like, I don't know, like 10 or 11 years old. I was really young. But I, at the time, I wanted to watch all of the Schwarzenegger movies. So I bought that one. And
so
this is so weird, too, because like at the time, my brother and I were sharing a bedroom.
Wow.
And I really have no idea why this was the case, but for some reason at that point in our lives, we thought it was necessary to set up a camping tent in between our two beds in the middle of the room.
Because camping tents are awesome.
And inside that camping tent, we had our TV and VCR. So it actually was pretty cool, thinking back on it. I kind of wish I had that in my room now, actually.
It was awesome, yeah.
So we're sitting there, we watched the movie, and then at the end, we both have the same reaction, like, what the fuck just happened?
What happened?
Like, we have to rewind this and watch it again.
To make sure.
We can't sleep until we figure this out.
Never mind the three-titted girl. Now, I tell you, in Total Recall, the replay, they do pay homage to the three-titted girl, which is fucking awesome.
I was like, they had to put that in. That's
total sells me on that movie. Like, the movie's okay, but the three-titted girl in the, which is great because you know the three-titted girl's not in the book.
Yeah.
She's only in the first movie, but she's such an icon in the first movie.
Yeah.
But they put her in the second movie. She's not even in the fucking story. Awesome.
They're just like, we will get money for this. That's all anybody wanted to know. They're remaking Total Recall. Really? Is she in it?
Three-titted mutant girl, yeah. Quado. Putting together an idea for a movie.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, I mean, it doesn't even have to be anything like deep. Just like, I was thinking it's right in what I know. Like, I'm a dude who works and I hate it. And this is some of the junk I hate about it. And I'm going to put it into a comedy.
Right.
Or at least that's what I had as part of the premise.
Right.
Like, we went to this, they had this store meeting the other day. We had to get up like ridiculously early and go to this meeting, and we got there and it's just like, what the fuck is the point of this meeting? Like,
what the hell am I doing here?
Like, half of the meeting was them like introducing themselves to us. We're like, and I'm your store manager, and everybody would just clap because they don't know what to do. And this is your other manager, and I'm like, we fucking know. We work with you every day. Like, we know who you are. What? Why are we here at 6:30 in the morning?
What
like,
the hell are we doing? This?
And then they're just like. They're like, and then they say these things to act like they're doing stuff. They're like, we only have one guy in the millwork department, but he got all of these credit apps. And I was like, imagine what we could do with no one over there. Like, because it's like, you know, they have nobody working there, and everybody complains about it because you can never get help. But they try to, you know, they're trying to turn a negative into a positive, and they think like we're too stupid to realize it, you know. I'm just like, these meetings are so pointless. Like, why the hell are we here? So I was thinking about
this offends me,
I was thinking of at least incorporating something like that into the movie. Like, maybe like the opening scene is like, you know, you fade in, the opening titles are kind of like weaving through an apartment, and there's, you know, maybe like a rock song overlaid over the video.
Yeah.
And you know,
you got to do a classic 80s, right? So the alarm, the scene is the title's coming on, black screen words, right?
Yeah.
And the scene opens up with the camera panning up into this guy's apartment and the alarm starts going off.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. The alarm starts going off.
Yeah, the rock song, right?
Yeah.
Kind of in the background, like the beginning of Back to the Future.
Right. And he just wakes up and he's like,
6:30 meeting, right?
Yeah. Like, why the fuck am I awake right now, you know?
Yeah,
and he reaches and shuts the alarm off and just sloppily gets dressed and heads out, you know, and you can just sort of get introduced to this guy, and you tell, you know,
the like, credits are still going, right?
Yeah.
People are still being introduced, and you get cutscenes of him going to work, getting in the shitty car.
Right. You can tell it's like
Lowe's, right, to go to the meeting.
It's like, you know, on the one level, he's this guy stuck where he doesn't want to be, but you can tell there's potential to go somewhere else. And hopefully by the end of the movie, he reaches that potential, you know, or something.
Right, right, right.
I don't know. I thought it was an okay start, though. You know, maybe a little cliche.
Yeah, it's definitely a little cliche, but it totally works.
But I'm just
like,
for
a reason, right?
I'm just kind of like, well, you know, whatever. If it's, you know, like I said before, just as I got, like, when I was talking to my friend AJ on the last episode, and also my friend Jay on the first episode about when we were talking about music, and it was just like, you know, when you're creating, I guess you can apply it to anything, but it's like when you're creating like that, it's like, who cares if somebody else is it not good enough for somebody else? It's like, do it because you want to do it. And if you're scared they're not going to like it, so what? Like, it's like, I did it for me. I hope you like it. I'm not trying to exclude anyone. But if you don't like it, then whatever, you know? And it's like, don't be afraid to make something terrible. I mean, maybe you might write it. It might be like the biggest piece of crap you've ever seen. But at least you'd be like, well, I did something. You know, it's there.
I did something.
Yeah. Like, where's your movie at?
Terrible, but at least I did it. Yeah.
Just don't say it to, like, Spielberg or somebody. He's like, well, actually, here's my, like, fuck you, Spielberg.
No, I love that. I love that. Don't be afraid to make something terrible.
Yeah.
Because I think that so often, you know, we don't try.
Yeah.
Because of that, you're afraid to fail. You're afraid to make something awful. It's like, well, you know, make something.
Yeah. Just
what
do
if it's
it.
Awful? Yeah.
Like, who cares? You know, like, that's like I was talking to Stephanie, my wife, when she was the co-host a few episodes ago. And, you know, I was talking to her about how, you know, I thought it would have been better if she had pursued wanting to sing and everything more. And she's like, oh, you know, well, I didn't know if anybody was going to like it or who's going to, I said, well, maybe you could try to record a demo now. Like, we have the equipment, you know, like, give it a shot. She says, oh, well, who wants to listen to that? And I was like, who wants to listen to anything? Who wants to listen to this show? Maybe nobody, I don't know, but I'm not doing it because I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to create this show. And then 300 million people are going to listen to it. I was just like, I'm fucking bored and I listen to podcasts and I think it'd be cool to have my own. So I'm going to give it a shot, you know?
Right.
Like, same kind of thing here. It's like, I like movies. Maybe I'll give it a try. See how it stacks up. Cause I know there's a lot of people out there like me and like you who are just enthusiasts of movies that love to watch movies, even if they're bad. Yeah. And I'm sure it wouldn't be that hard to get them to just be like, hey, here's a movie. Check it out. What do you think? You know?
Yeah, what do you think? Yeah.
They slam it, like, all right, well, whatever. Yeah. Hopefully a few people will like it, but at least they'd be, at least it's out there for discussion, you know?
Yeah. So, for discussion. At least, like you said, at least you did something.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch anything? Who wants to listen to anything?
Yeah. I mean, like, if everybody.
There's an audience for everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, it might not be your cup of tea, but this is a big, big world.
If everybody had that attitude,
that kind of thing,
it's like nothing would ever get done. Because it's like, it's easy to talk yourself out of stuff. It's kind of the same way with this podcast. Before doing it, I kind of thought about it. I was like, oh man, you know, what if it's just really horrible and nobody cares and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what though? I'm like, I don't care if they don't care. I'm doing it because I want to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully people will like it, but you know, if not, then whatever. It's all right. I'm having fun with it.
Yeah.
I'm getting back in touch with people I haven't talked to in like 10 years. That on its own is worth it right there. Like,
it's worth the price of admission. You know, I love this idea, the creative spirit. I love talking about making movies. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we could, maybe you could even do a whole other show just talking about movies, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing I found too, is it's, you know, it's a lot easier than I would have imagined to put a podcast out there. Like, before I started all this, I would have thought it would be more complicated than this, but you know, I think the first episode I did of this was last month. You know, I've only been doing this for about maybe a month now, and it's really not that hard. I mean, you get a couple of microphones and you record it, you submit it to iTunes, you set up a little feed. It's great. You know, people can listen to it anywhere they want. I even have an Android app for it now.
Nice.
You can listen to it right on your phone, you know? It's amazing.
Actually, I did see that post. Where did you post that on Facebook?
Yeah.
So all my Windows or all my my Apple people. Sorry. Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah. I was like, if you have an iPhone, you picked the wrong one. But.
But.
You can listen to it through this thing. I was like, on the Android app, you can call into the show, you can email me, you can listen to the episodes, you can all this stuff. If you have an iPhone, you can listen to it. That's about it, but it's still pretty cool. I did that for my mom the other day. She got an iPhone, and I was like, I'm going to subscribe you to my podcast.
There you go.
She was like, good, because I don't know how to find it otherwise. I'm like, well, there you go. Just hit play whenever you want to hear this. It's funny that you like talk to people about it. It's like, you know, they don't listen to it, you know. But it's all right. I know, like, I have friends that have, like, I don't, you know, like Stephanie's got her show. I don't listen to it most of the time.
Yeah.
It's not like to be a dick or anything. But most of the time she's doing it while I'm at work, you know, so I can't.
I know. I've never actually heard an episode of her show either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've been on it a few times.
Have
you? As a guest. She was on my show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, awesome.
I did an interview with her, yeah. So,
yeah.
It's pretty nice, you know.
I know.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I lost my train of thought there.
Damn it.
Yeah.
We're never going to know. Don't play with my emotions like that.
Forever remain in the ether.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, though, because, like, you know, she has people on her show, and every once in a while she'll ask me if I want to call in and be on it or whatever, and usually if I can, if I'm not working or whatever, I'll do it.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, two or three times, so that's all right. She called into mine. See, this is the second episode I've done where you can call in, because before I was using Skype.
Okay.
And now I have it set up kind of like a real... Or what I would assume a real station to be like anyway, where you call in. I don't know, I've never been to a real radio station, so I don't know. But you know, you can actually call a phone number and talk to me on the phone instead of having to get on your computer and Skype or whatever, you know.
Right.
But yeah, like even that wasn't that hard to set up. There's a lot of like good free software out there and support for it and everything. It really, I'm amazed at how quickly and easily I was able to get this set up
together.
Yeah, and I think I've got it worked out pretty well. Like, you know, I can even tell just from in the short amount of time I've been doing it, like how much more organized I am now than I was when I the first episode. Yeah,
right. Sure, which is really neat. You know.
Yeah, you know, and I'm hoping, you know, that it grows into something. Like maybe eventually it'll start getting people to listen. But you know, like I said, if nothing ever comes of it, I'll just keep doing it till I'm tired of it. I'll say, hey, remember that time I did this show?
Yeah, you get to create something new.
Yeah, you know, it's like I made this thing from scratch, you know.
Yeah, that is neat, man. That is really neat. I appreciate it. Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that as a segment on the show. It's just like stuff that irritates me about Facebook. It's going to be a little segment.
Yeah, like people's lack of use of punctuation.
Yeah. Or like lately I've been seeing a lot of people reposting other pages and they have the word porn in them, like word porn or food porn or whatever. And I'm just like, stop getting my hopes up. This isn't porn. You're giving porn a bad name here. This is just a picture of a bird. The fuck?
Advertising. And yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Porn. We all know what porn, like, I don't know what porn is, but I know when I see it, yeah. And I know that when you call this porn, it's not porn.
Yeah. I'm gonna like just post a picture of like a naked lady and be like porn. This is what porn
The original porn. Call it OP.
Yeah. Or like when people post, like sometimes I just want to, maybe this isn't technically on Facebook, but like a lot of people they'll say like, oh well, you know, they just repeat stuff they hear because they think it's true. And they're like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I was like, that's actually not the definition of it. I looked it up once. It didn't say anything about that in there.
Well, what's funny is that people keep reposting that same post.
Yeah.
So isn't that insane?
It is. They're expecting the same result. And then...
isn't this crazy?
As you think about it, like,
the Twilight Zone. I've never been there before.
In a world where not. That's part of our movie right there.
Very good movies, by the way. Very good
movies. Did I ever tell you my idea for a movie, though, like if it was going to be in the theaters?
Okay.
Tropic Thunder kind of already did this, so maybe it wouldn't be that original anymore. But they didn't really do it like all the way through. Like, I want to have a movie that's it with a bunch of fake trailers, but the whole movie is fake trailers for like 2 hours. And I just want to see how long it takes for the audience to figure that out and walk out one by one. Because you know how the trailers are like crazy long anyway?
Right.
I just wanted
right.
to see like how long that's it takes it to sink movie, in that it's like the movie's
the
never going to start.
Let in on the joke.
Yeah.
Joke trailer.
They just have to figure it out. You know, like eventually they're going to be like, this movie is never going to start. It's just 2 hours of trailers. I think that would be amazing.
You know what I had always wanted to do? I had always wanted to do the television show about the movie theater.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it was one of those untapped, great place for stories. Because there's so much inherent drama.
Yeah.
There's so much silliness. And yeah. it's such a great avenue. Because we have all, I think a lot of people in Americana culture, have spent time in movie theater.
Yeah.
So looking at that zany, crazy, funny world back there, I think would be interesting.
Yeah. I think we could probably even write
I think it's,
a script like that, you know? Like.
Yeah, I think it still holds true to this day, you know? Because there's still, you know, even though, like, the movie, it's still kind of the quiet thing. People still go to the movies in huge numbers. It's still very important.
Yeah.
And so there's that whole culture because most people have never worked in a movie theater. Most people have no idea how the popcorn gets made per se, you know? And, I think it's a funny story worth telling.
I think a lot of those movies, you know, I'm kind of guilty of that too, of what I was talking about before, talking myself out of doing stuff. But, I thought about that too. And I was like, man, I should write a movie like that. And I'm like, oh, but you know, but they already made Clerks. But at the same time, I'm like, so what? Like how many works of art like that are similar to other things, you know, like,
oh yeah, it's like, yeah, all of it. A lot of it has, copycats and there is nothing new under the sun. It's just different ways of arranging certain pieces and, you know, finding something that strikes people's fancy, you know, or even if it doesn't, you know, not being afraid of it, like you said earlier.
Yeah. I think, you know, you could, it can be success. I mean, like look at The Office, you know, like look how successful that was. And it's kind of the same thing.
The way we watch television, when you really look at it, that show, you know, because it was a mock documentary at a time when mock documentaries weren't popular. Like, they were becoming more popular.
Yeah.
And now most of the shows, especially a lot of the comedy shows, are done with that mock documentary style, even if they're not playing it as mock documentary.
Yeah.
You
people
know
just
I mean?
Accept it now. They don't even have to add that element in. They just, you know.
No, they don't. It's just like people are panning the cameras and we're getting interviewee with the camera. Like one of my favorite shows, Modern Family.
Yeah, that show.
Modern
I was just about
Family,
to say
perfect.
That.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
Yeah.
But they do interview on the couches, but they never say that it's a documentary. It's not a documentary. It's these people's lives.
Yeah.
Right? But they beam the camera all the time. They interact with the audience as if the audience were there.
Yeah.
You know, it's changed. Like that film style changed how we watch television a lot.
Yeah. You know, for the longest time, I kept seeing Christopher Lloyd's name in the credits of Modern Family, and I didn't realize it's just a guy who happens to be named Christopher Lloyd. Like, I thought it was the actor.
I always thought it was him, too.
Yeah, and then we were watching the other night. They had, like, some, like, behind-the-scenes thing on how they make the show, and then they're like, this is Christopher Lloyd. I'm like, no, it's not. And then he's like, I'm Christopher Lloyd. I'm like, oh, his name just happens to be Christopher Lloyd? I'm like, I thought it was, like, the actor Christopher Lloyd, like... And well, kind of related to that, like, have you seen the Michael J. Fox show?
I've watched one or two episodes.
'Cause that's kind of shot in that same style.
Yes, yeah. That all of it. That's kind of the new.
That's the thing now. You know?
Modern Family's kind of like the new thing. It just went into syndication because it's been so popular for so many years. But Yeah, all of those shows are kind of doing that style now.
Yeah.
And I can certainly appreciate it as a fan, but, you know, once again, it's like everybody's going to do the same thing. They're going to do it to death. You know?
Yeah, and then it'll get played out. Yeah.
And then someone will do something else new, the next new thing, and, you know, and we'll move on.
Yeah. You know what I don't get about the Michael J. Fox show, though? Is like, it's called the Michael J. Fox show. But and his
right.
character's name
but
is
his
Michael,
name is not Michael,
but it's
J.
not
Fox
Michael J.
In the
Fox.
Show.
I'm like, why is this called the Michael J. Fox show then? Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, I think that is actually kind of an homage to like early television,
like Dick Van
like
Dyke,
the Dick Van Dyke show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Which was a sitcom type show.
Yeah.
And I think most likely his character's name was Dick Van Dyke, but you know what I mean? It's kind of a throwback to that.
Yeah.
So, because everybody knows it's Michael J. Fox, so you're kind of let in on the joke right from the very beginning. But yeah, I thought it's an interesting choice to go with that, you know?
I wonder if Michael J. Fox, the actor, exists in their universe at the same time as his character in that show. Like, could they watch Back to the Future or something and be like in Last Action Hero?
That's what bothered me about comic book movies. Like, you know, like the world of X-Men. X-Men, like, do comic books of supernatural heroes exist in the world of the X-Men?
Yeah.
Because if it does, they should be getting all of their know-how about being a mutant from comic books.
Right.
So obviously they don't have comic books in that world, but then what kind of boring world do they live in that they don't have comic books?
Yeah. It's like somebody had to be inspired
by
your
story. No wonder they all hate mutants. They didn't grow up with comic books. These fucking people are boring.
Yeah.
Terribly boring. You know, it's like it's totally like this circle that just explodes on itself.
Yeah.
Iron Man, Superman, Bat, all of those things, you know.
Yeah, some of those stuff, like, people just never stop to think about it, you know?
Well, because if you get too deep into it, right, it's like...
This ruins everything.
It just falls apart, right? Yeah. It just falls apart. You just can't exist.
that's like we were riding the Back to the Future ride when it was still around at Universal one time.
Ah,
and
yeah.
You know that part where you go in the dinosaur's mouth?
Yeah.
And then, like, one time my brother leans over to me and is like, how the fuck is a dinosaur in a volcano? And I was just like, and then, like, at first I was like, well, wow. Because, I don't know. How the fuck did he get in a volcano? I never thought of that.
How did he get down there?
Because I'm like, we went in a volcano.
He dead yet? Yeah, right.
What the hell is a dinosaur
not
doing
cool
in here?
Down here? I mean, he might be big, but he's not, like, heat-proof. He's not a...
Yeah.
Superhero dinosaur, like he's just a dinosaur.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, I never thought about that, man. That's a good question. Like,
and yeah, right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, shit like that like you can't get to it because it'll mess with you. It'll totally like.
Then, like every time I went on that ride after that, I was just like, how the fuck did this dinosaur get in the volcano?
It ruins it. It totally takes you out of the piece. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. But yeah, I think a show about a movie theater. What I wanted to do was, there was a movie theater that I worked in New York, which I thought, what would have been the pinnacle of my dream was to have a tie-in of the TV show with an actual movie theater.
Yeah.
So you actually film in the theater some of the show so that people can come to the theater and watch movies and see the place where their television show is filmed. I thought that was the tops.
That would be pretty cool.
You know, like it's a complete tie-in and totally, totally funny.
See, now if we had some of the junk we have around today back when we worked at the movie theater, we could have done that.
I know.
I mean,
like, we could have. Hell, we had the time to do it.
Yeah, it's not like we didn't.
Remember that
goof
stupid
off enough.
Ball game we created? Like, throwing the ball against the wall and that we got?
Yeah, that could be an episode right there.
Yeah,
just
playing the stupid ball on the wall game.
Then the ball got stuck somewhere.
And
we made Stephanie go buy another one. All right. I still tell people this story, like, to this day about how, like, I used to tape wrestling and we'd watch it on the monitors in the lobby while we're eating popcorn and drinking soda.
I remember we would hook up something and we would play it and watch Stone Cold Steve Austin and all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, because they had the VCR in the office. And it was it was hooked up to the monitors, and I guess the studios or whoever would send us these tapes of trailers, you know, and you'd just play it. Mm-hmm. And I think for the longest time they didn't even have it hooked up, and we were hanging out in the office one day, and I was like, does this thing go to the monitors
out
there?
They used to have it, and then they would, like, they gave it a new machine or something like that. And so, yeah.
And then I was like, here's what we should do.
Yeah. I remember doing it, and we would sit and watch, and
I remember one time, it was like WrestleMania had just happened, and do you remember Justin that used to work there?
Vaguely.
Everybody called him Sideshow Bob. He had the dreads.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, one night, it was right after WrestleMania, he was the manager that night, and... And him and I, literally my whole entire shift, I was like, hey, Justin, I have WrestleMania. And him and I watched WrestleMania in the office my whole shift. I didn't work at all that whole night. It was like the greatest thing ever.
My first real job was working in a movie theater.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that changed my life in ways I never imagined. Yeah. You know, like I just was a kid who loved going to the movies.
Yeah.
I would go by myself. Like, I just loved going to the movies and watching movies.
Yeah.
And then when I got a job there, it was like magical.
Yeah.
You know, it was magical. And it affected my, it even affected my life to this day.
I remember, I used to go to movies alone too. Cause I'm just like, you know, even if I didn't want to see the movie, I'm like, if nothing else comes out of seeing this movie, I can at least tell people that it's good or not when they ask, you know?
Right.
But I still love going. I don't get to go that much now because, you know, I have COVID, but
I just don't go.
Yeah.
And,
it's
and
weird having to pay for it, too. You know? You go up and you're like, yeah, I want to see this movie. And they're like, okay, that's like $10. And you're like, what?
What?
Do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am?
And they're just like, no. And you're like, I was just asking if you knew who I was. I'm not important or anything. I thought I'd check if you knew. Huh?
I know it's special. I just can't remember myself.
Yeah. Maybe you can help me. I don't...
You can help me. I'm lost. I'm trying to find my way home.
It's like, that's not a rhetorical question. I'm really wondering, like, do you know who I am? Like, help me out here. Like...
Yeah, absolutely. I swear, I mean, to this day, and I've told my wife this many times, I wish that I could still go and work at a movie theater. Like, I wish that I had the time just for, you know, like two shifts.
Yeah.
Two shifts just to be around it because I love it so much. So just, you know, being able to be in it and smell the popcorn and watch movies while you're working. Oh, the best thing ever.
I mean, like, my son really loves to eat popcorn now, and every, like, when I make it for him, it reminds me of the movie theater, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I've always thought of that, too, could be cool to incorporate into a movie. Like, I think it's been done before, but, like I was talking about how things interrelate in your life, like maybe you could have a scene where, like, I'm working at the movies making popcorn, and then you cut to a scene now, all these years later, and I'm making popcorn, but it's a totally different environment and time, you know?
Yeah.
And you see all the different times you've done, like, thing, you know? Yeah. Or I thought it would be cool or maybe there's, like, a certain song. Like, the first time I heard this song, I was doing this, and then, you know, a few years later, I was playing with this.
Even soundtracks. Like, because you remember, we used to listen, we would be in the lobby, and we would hear those commercials over and over and over again, and they would become... I mean, the first time you heard some of those songs became synonymous with the movie, you know, because you heard it so many times.
Yeah. I think a lot of times with music like that, too, it's like there might be a song that's like the most horrible song you've ever heard in your life. And you're like, this is the shittiest. Yeah. Like, how did this even happen? But like, if when you heard that song or when you continued to hear that song, like good things were happening in your life. Like you'll probably have a positive association with a song, you know, like,
right.
You know, like, this song is awesome, even if it's, you know, not, even if it's not.
Even if it's terrible, right, right. Even if it's terrible, it's awesome because it takes me right to that moment. Right?
Yeah.
Right to that moment, yeah.
That's kind of one of the things I always...
Like, I remember the trailer, the original trailer for the first Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which, this is crazy. So, I was living in New York when they started filming the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And they literally were filming some scenes around the corner from where I was living.
Yeah.
So, then I moved back to Florida. Spider-Man came out, or at least they released the trailer for Spider-Man, right? And one of the scenes in the original trailer was the spider web in between the Twin Towers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then the building came down, and we were working there at that time.
Yeah.
And the buildings came down, and boom, they pulled it. They changed everything. They took that scene out of the movie, out of the trailers, out of everything.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that I'll never forget.
I remember when I went to go see that movie with you. They had it at the Regal across town, and we had to call and, like, get them to let us in.
Yes.
And I remember when they actually had a scene in the movie, because I remember you were like, I used to live there. That's my neighborhood.
Yeah. That was my street. Yeah.
Yeah. It was...
I remember walking by the trucks that day, like, they're filming Spider-Man upstairs here. And I'm like, well, I get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah,
not. Here's another cool movie theater story. I met Michael Jackson at the movie theater.
Get out of here.
Yeah, when I worked at MovieCo.
Wow.
Yeah, he, at the time, he had been in Palm Beach County. Like, people had reported seeing him around, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember saying to my coworkers at the time, like, man, wouldn't that be awesome if he came in here? And then I think it was like a couple of nights later, somebody, because I was working in the premiere, which was like upstairs where the restaurant was and everything.
And Sure. I remember that.
Yeah, and then people were like, oh, man, I'm going to go to this theater and look down and I'm going to see Michael Jackson. I thought they were messing with me. And they're like, no, really, he's in there. And I was like, yeah, what the fuck ever. So, like, I went in there and looked down and I'm like, I don't see him. What are you talking about? And they pointed him out and I was like, holy shit, Michael Jackson sitting in that theater. So then... Wow. Like, the managers were upstairs looking down at him, and I was like, are we allowed to, like, go talk to him? And they were like, no, leave him alone, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And then I ran to the other side of the theater, and I got my friend that was working there at the time, and I was like, dude, Michael Jackson's in the theater downstairs. We have to go there right now. So the other people that were working up there were like, all right, if you guys clean these theaters right now, we'll clean the theaters for the rest of the night. And they were like, okay. So then we ran down the stairs, went, and when we got to the theater, there was a manager standing outside of the theater that he was in. And he was like, you know, telling us to go away. And we were like, oh, we just wanted to see the movie. What do you mean Michael Jackson's in there? And then he was like, yeah, whatever, nice try. And then so he turned his back for like a second, and we ran in there. And then, you know, they have that like stadium seating, so we kind of like we're walking through the little tunnel thing, and we're peeking around the corner looking at him. And I'm like, what are we going to do, man? If we have our uniforms on, like, they're going to know we work here. So we took off. So I had this idea. I was like, all right, dude, take your vest off and take your they made you wear like a little tuxedo shirt kind of thing. I was like, take that off too. So we took both of those off and we just had like regular t-shirts on, you know?
Right.
And it worked too, because then we went and we walked past behind where he was sitting and we were standing there just looking at him, like just too nervous to do anything. And the people there was other employees in the theater saying like, oh, you know what? Go back to your seats. And I was like, dude, they don't think we work here. They're saying, go back to your seats. So it worked. And we just kind of stood there looking at them for the longest time. And the trailers are going on. And finally I'm like, well, you know, we better do something because, you know, I'm not going to bother him when the movie starts.
Yeah.
So finally my friend goes up and kneels down behind him and he says, hey man, can I have your autograph? and all of the people that are with him are saying, "Yeah, leave him alone, blah, 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 blah." But he was really cool about it. He was like, "Yeah, no problem. I'll sign it." And he signed it. And I did the same thing. I was like, "Oh, man, can you sign one for me, too?" And yeah, he was like, "Yeah, not right. a problem at all." He was like the nicest guy ever. Like, everybody around him was like, "Fuck off." Like, they didn't say fuck off, but, you know,
yeah,
they were like,
"Yeah, which they're supposed to be." Yeah.
Yeah. But he was like the nicest guy. He was like, "No, no, no, it's not a problem at all. Like, I'll sign it. No problem at all." And you know, and we got his autograph, and then, you know, we put our uniforms back on and went upstairs and went back to work. But it's like, I kind of still can't believe it happened. I'm like, I met Michael Jackson, and I still have his autograph, you know. It's like,
yeah.
I'm like, that's insane to me. Like, cause I was like, you know, he's been a big inspiration to me since I was like, eight or 9 years old, you know, and then.
Yeah, I know. It's Michael Jackson, man.
And especially now, I'm like, you know, I'd never have another chance to do it. He's not here anymore, you know?
Yeah, he's gone.
So I'm like, that's kind of one of the things, like, I'm glad that I got that chance, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, to a smaller degree, a much smaller degree, I also met Chris Caraba from Dashboard Confessional there.
Oh, cool.
And like a lot, like nobody knew who he was. And I think there was like maybe like one other guy that knew who he was there. And I was like, "Hey, you're that guy. Can you sign this for me?" Like, yeah. I think he was happy somebody recognized him. I don't know.
Right. Those are the kind of crazy, crazy ass things that go on in movie theaters, man, that you just don't expect.
Yeah. When you were saying celebrities came into your theater, do you have any stories like that? Or was it pretty much just
absolutely. No, I remember one time, so I was trying to get into the acting business, and I had my headshot. I just happened to have my headshot resume with me.
Right.
And Edward Norton had come out of a movie he had been watching. He was hanging out in the lobby. I look over, and I'm like, "Oh, shit, that's Edward Norton."
Yeah.
So a film producer friend of mine, who's also, you know, trying to bust in the biz,
yeah.
Like, "Oh, dude, you have your headshot. You got to give him a headshot." Because at the time, he was actually filming a movie.
Yeah.
So I was like, "Holy shit, now I got to go give him a fucking headshot." Okay. So he starts to leave, and I follow him.
Yeah.
Which you feel like an idiot for, but I get like a block away from the theater, and I'm like, "Oh, excuse me. Hey, how you doing? It's great to meet you. I just wanted to pass you my headshot," which felt so cheesy, but
yeah.
And then I was like, he's like, "Oh, okay." And he took it, and it was cool because he thought I wanted an autograph, which I didn't.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't, it just, I was like so nervous about the headshot thing, I didn't even think about his autograph.
He just signed your headshot and hands it back.
Right. Like, "Oh, thanks." But so yeah, and then I turned around and left, and I was like, you know, later on you think about it, like, "Wow, I wonder how many trash cans down I could have found the headshot in." But
yeah,
whatever. I did it.
Yeah, you know, it's like,
you know, and like, that was a crazy story. Like, God, that took, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that, like, you know, like we were saying, if you don't do it, you never know what could have happened.
Yeah, you never know. You never know what could happen, man. You never know. So it was stuff like that. One time, I remember I was in the stock room, which was behind, and our theater was behind one of our big screens. So I'm back there. I think I was doing counts for the night, you know, counting fucking popcorn bins. And I come out, and I hear the story relayed to me about how Julia Roberts is sitting in my lobby crying her eyes out over something.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, and it broke my heart. I was like, "All right, first of all, Julia Roberts was in the theater here?" Yeah. And then second of all, she was crying?
Yeah.
Like, seriously? Like, this is my move? This is my opening move? Like, why are you crying in my movie theater? This is no good? Like, and I wasn't there for this?
Yeah.
That was one of those heartbreakers. You're like, "Oh, I don't know that I would have done it, but I certainly do think that I would have." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a manager. I at least have a reason to approach Julia Roberts, who's crying in my movie theater, and say, "Listen, you know, how are you? Are you okay? You know, shit, anything."
"Would you like the combo meal? It's only $75 now."
Listen, I got free gummy bears all night, Julia.
First class.
Yeah, right. I, you know, Let me take you on a tour. I'll show you the projector room. You know, whatever. But, yeah, that was one of those. It was like, oh, my God, yeah.
Man, that's pretty cool.
You know, it's funny. So we had a premiere at my theater of a big movie. And I basically snuck into the premiere of my own movie at my theater.
Yeah.
I was off duty. I was with a friend of my that same movie producer friend. Uh-huh. We snuck in and got seats to watch this movie. So literally, what was his name? Cyndi Lauper sitting like a couple rows over from me.
Yeah.
Dylan, I can't remember his name. He was in Wild Things.
Matt Dillon
is sitting literally right behind me. So I'm like surrounded by movie stars.
Yeah.
Just sitting in this movie, they're watching it. And it happened to be, what was the name? It was, I can remember the movie, but I can't remember the name of it right now. Anyway, which is crazy. Like, I snuck into my own theater. And I'm sitting there watching this movie with all these celebrities. The movie was terrible. It was like The Virgin Diaries or something like that.
Yeah.
It'll come. Anyway. Yeah. Really crazy, crazy movie business. And then, for some reason, because we were at the movie, we also got to go to the after party.
Oh, nice.
So then we went to the after party at this club that was not at the theater. We got in somehow, and then we're hobnobbing with all of these celebrities. This is crazy. That's nuts.
That's awesome.
I don't know how this stuff happened. Yeah, I don't know how this stuff happened. And then I'm standing around, and there's, like, all these famous people.
Yeah.
Just kind of chilling. Who did I talk to? I talked to somebody. Spike Jonze was there.
Yeah.
I ended up talking to Spike Jonze about the weather or some, you know, mess.
Yeah.
The shit you remember.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, it was pretty nuts. What is she in now? She was in Spider-Man. What's the girl, the lead girl in Spider-Man?
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst. So it was her movie, but she was a lot younger then.
Yeah.
It was called, like, The Virgin Suicides or something. Where these
saw some of that, yeah.
Yeah, where they killed themselves because their life was terrible or something like
that. Yeah, like they had it on Netflix or something, and we were trying to watch it, and I turned it off. I was like, this is fucking horrible.
Yeah,
like,
let me tell you, it was that boring even when it came out. but you know, I was in a room full of celebrities, so it wasn't like, you know, I was like, who cares?
Yeah.
Then we went to the after party, which was crazy.
That's awesome.
There was a model there, too. Yeah, that was wild.
Have you ever used your size like to your advantage? Like, have you ever tried to make anything like, oh yeah, I'm totally Tom Hanks's bodyguard or something? You know, like.
I guess I've had moments when it could have worked to my advantage.
Yeah, I mean, they believe
Britney Spears came to my movie theater.
Yeah,
and everybody assumed that I was the head security guard.
Yeah.
And I swear the only reason they assumed that was because I was the largest dude in a suit. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Like, had I been a jerk off the street and stood next to the line, they would have assumed I worked there because I was the largest dude in a suit. That's it. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
And they let me have, like, unparalleled access because of that.
Yeah.
So I was like the lead security guy. People were looking at me on how to get out of the theater. Yeah, because... No, it's okay.
That's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, it's a wild story. Yeah, you know, they were looking to me like, how do we get out of the theater? They're asking me, how do we get down to the limo? All this shit. And then they followed me. Britney Spears followed me out of the movie theater. Literally because I was the biggest guy in the suit.
You're just like, yes, ma'am, you need to come down to my apartment. It's right over here.
Keep walking.
Just keep on. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to let you go out in front. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Give me a little twirl here. She's like, why do I have to give you a twirl? You're like, it's for your safety. Mom. Now listen to me.
For your safety.
I'm head of security. You know what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't know, Brian is 6'8", and How much do you weigh, Brian, without getting too personal? Like 300 something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 310 pounds as of this morning.
So basically, Brian is like the Undertaker. That's...
Yeah, basically.
I remember the first time I met you, like I the first day I met you, I was working at the movies, and you came in and you were like, I think you asked me for a Coke or something, and you were really nice about it. Like, you weren't a jerk or anything, but you were like, yeah, can I have a Coke? And I was just like, oh, you can have anything you want, sir. Just don't hurt me. And I was like, and then eventually I went from saying that to, like, when I would see you come in the theater, I'd be like, fee, fi, fo, fum, Brian's here.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's how you can tell how good a friend you are with somebody, or, like, how good a friend I am with somebody. Like, if I feel comfortable enough to fuck with them, you know?
Fuck with them,
because a lot of people, they think it's being mean, and I'm like, well, I think I'll pretty much only mess with you if you're my friend, you know? Like, Unless I really don't like you, and then I'm messing with you to be mean. But most of the time, it's because you're my friend, and I like messing with you.
Yeah, man. I think we filled up the podcast.
Yeah, might have to cut this one up into a few parts too. It's all right though. It's like I said, I'm really loving
the content to pick from, you know.
Yeah, I'm really loving the getting back in touch with everybody, you know.
Yeah, that's great, man. Good for you, bro.
Yeah, so. Well, I don't know. I don't want to keep you up all night. I know you probably got work in the
morning. Yeah, I do. Oh, I do. I definitely up past my bedtime, and my wife's going to be mad at me, but, you know, it was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was great to talk to you again, man. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, we'll definitely have to get together sometime. It's been crazy too long.
Right.
And, absolutely. Let's do that, man. Let's do the script and see if we can come up with something. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, we'll email some stuff back and forth, and we'll put some ideas down on paper. See what we can come up with.
Yeah, man. I mean, how hard could it be?
You know? Right.
Famous
right?
Last words, right?
How hard could it be?
What's the worst that could happen?
What's the worst? Yeah. What is the worst? All right, brother. Hey, thanks for the call, man. This was really a good time.
Yep. Yeah, man. Thanks for calling in, too. And we'll do it again sometime.
Yes. All right, bro.
All right, man. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Yep. Okay, so that's part two of my interview with Brian Russell. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I apologize for the break that I took in between. But, you know, like I said, I had some stuff going on. Hopefully now I'll be able to produce this show a little more frequently, but I guess we'll see what happens. Next couple of shows, I've got some stuff going on with my own music, and I'll probably just have a few without guests where I'm just going to talk about random stuff. I'm not really sure yet. But anyway, got some good stuff in store. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this. Spread the word if you can, and see if we can get it out there. All right, see you later.